Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio.
I'm Saul Brody from Philadelphia, PA, USA. You're tuned to the International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report for Sunday, February the 4th, 2024. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I am here with Jill. We're here every Sunday morning with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. Our email address, if you'd like to reach us, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group is International Radio Report. We welcome two new members this week, Paul in Ontario and Ian in Brooklyn, New York. We invite you to go join the group. Our YouTube channel is International Radio Report as well. You can find us at IRR and subscribe to the channel. We have 941 subscribers. You'll find each show posted up on there, as well as previous shows that you can go back and listen to. Our X account is at IRRCKUT, and we have 40 followers on there at the present time. So all different ways you can contact us or tune into our program. We'll start things off today with a reminder, once again, that World Radio Day, UNESCO's World Radio Day, is coming up on February the 13th. We'll have some special information about it again next week, just before we reach World Radio Day. Invite you to go check out the website, go to UNESCO and look for World Radio Day. World Radio Day was proclaimed by the UNESCO General Conference at its 36th session in 2011 and adopted by the 67th session of the United Nations General Assembly in 2012. The theme for 2024 is Radio, a Century Informing, Entertaining, and Educating. And there are lots of interesting things on the website, links to different events going on in radio around the world, and we'll have a list of some items for you to check out on next week's program as we approach February the 13th, World Radio Day.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
One of radio's enduring traits is its grassroots focus. When it comes to emerging trends in music, pop culture, sports, news, and opinion, radio's always been most effective when it reflects and gives voice to the street. The music, language, and concerns of everyday people, no matter their age, gender, origin, or economic position, can be included. Freedom of expression has had an advocate, a fertile ground on which to grow on the radio airwaves. This has been one of the keys to radio's popularity and ability to survive for well over 100 years, and it's the answer to what it'll take for the medium to have a positive impact on inclusion and mutual understanding for the foreseeable 21st century. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
We have a story that came to us via Ricky Lung in Calgary a couple weeks ago, actually, and we missed putting it onto the program. So some of these things have already happened, and there are more to come. The story is from CBC Radio itself, and the headline is CBC Radio's flagship evening news shows are joining forces as Your World Tonight. As of Monday, January the 29th, the radio newscasts The World at 6 and The World This Weekend on CBC Radio were renamed Your World Tonight. Susan Bonner remains the host Monday through Thursday, with Tom Harrington on Friday evenings and Stephanie Skenderis on the weekend. As before, you can catch the flagship evening program at 6 p.m. in most of the country, 7 p.m. in the Atlantic time zone, and 7:30 p.m. in Newfoundland and Labrador. The World at 6 has aired for the first time on October the 31st, 1966. It has become one of the longest running and most trusted news programs in the history of CBC News. The World This Weekend launched in 1994 to keep Canadians connected to the important stories of the day on Saturdays and Sundays. Your World Tonight is a vibrant new evening program that builds on a legacy of excellence in audio storytelling established by The World at Six and The World This Weekend. Also new this winter, there will be a new live call-in show on CBC called Just Asking, launching later in February. It will air at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Atlantic, and 6:30 in Newfoundland and Labrador. There are some other schedule changes. With the start of the 2024 year, there are also a few tweaks to the schedule at CBC Radio. Here are some of those changes that came into effect on the 1st of January. With Mary Hines' retirement, the Tapestry program is winding down after a 29-year run. As a result, Unreserved is moving into Tapestry's former time slot, Sundays at 2 p.m., from its current time, Saturdays at 4 p.m. You can now catch the debaters at 1 p.m. with White Coat Black Art to follow at 1:30 p.m. You'll also hear the next chapter at 2 p.m. on Saturdays instead of 3 p.m. That means Now or Never will air at 3 p.m. instead. The weekday replay of Writers and Company will shift from Tuesdays at 3 p.m. to Wednesdays at 1 p.m. And on Sunday evenings, Play Me will no longer be available. You'll be able to catch Radiolab in its 9 p.m. time slot instead. So quite a bit of tweaking to the CBC schedule for this winter or for 2024, with the main one, though, being the combination of the two daily newscasts at 6 and 6:30. So instead of World at 6 and The World This Weekend, you can now look for Your World Tonight.
I think that it will be interesting maybe through 2024 to examine the CBC and maybe more changes eventually. You know, with the problem in financing, the job cuts, I know a friend of mine that works here at the CBC. I met him last week and I asked him if his job, you know, was secured. And he said, I still don't know. We're still waiting to see who is getting cut.
The head of the CBC, though, was being called to appear at a commission hearing in Ottawa. It seems that some of the cuts that they were saying were because of budget cuts may not have been as a result of budget cuts.
Yeah.
And they're being asked to explain some of the cuts. So that might be interesting, an interesting story for this year as well. Yeah. Once that hearing takes place.
And I did see that if there is some financing issue, I did see the federal government saying that they could maybe advance a little more money. We'll see what happens with that. And one of the interesting articles I've seen in the newspaper here was, is Catherine Tate going to get some form of a bonus?
Mm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, that might, the answer might come from how the performance at the hearing goes.
So anyways, we'll see what happens. And I think through 2024, maybe some other changes could come too. So I'm going to take a look at the CBC this year. Something very interesting that I had seen through HF Underground, and you sent me an email. It's a pirate station, La Voix de l'Indépendance du Québec, a pirate station that talks about the Quebec independence movement, basically. On 6930 kilohertz and AM mode, and that was on January 29th, around 2208 UTC. So list of little things that they were talking about. There was, of course, women in French talking about, you know, freedom and the independence of Quebec. They were having some songs that were often either relate to French, francophone side of things, or There was some slow scan television being sent out. There was Pearl Ark Castle, 19, the song 19, but, you know, in French. So it's kind of interesting. There was a classic anthem for the Quebec Freedom tune. There was a EQSL being sent out that I saw from Chris Molinsky of the HF Underground, which is basically the panel of the independence panel that were out when there was the referendum in 1995 with the we or the yes side. And so this is very intriguing. I am wondering exactly where does this come from? Is somebody transmitting this from the province of Quebec, or is somebody here? It was distinctly Quebecois French sounding, and it could be also a program made by someone here and maybe sent to one of those relays for, you know, putting it on the air. They say it was 20 watts of power, which is not a lot, and it seems that quite a lot of people noticed it for just 20 watts. So this is very, very interesting, and I don't recall ever hearing a pirate that dealt with the politics of Quebec before.
No, and you've got to figure that this is somebody who knows the subject, for one thing. You know, the timing of it is a little interesting. Certainly the party that was pushing for the Quebec separation from Canada is suddenly becoming quite popular again here in the province of Quebec. So the timing might have, you know, coincided with that. But obviously, you know, people outside of Quebec, you know, I doubt that very many people tuning into a pirate station like this would really understand what the whole thing was about, unless you were either in Quebec at the time or you were really up on Quebec politics and knew about this in this historic event that happened. Very, very odd, and was really quite surprised when it showed up. And we do have a recording, so we're going to play a little bit of the recording for you to hear it. I think, you know, being here in Quebec and having gone through that referendum, which was a very, very tense period in Quebec history, it was really quite a surprise to hear this station. So we thought we'd let you hear a little bit of it.
Le mouvement souverainiste québécois est un mouvement politique dont l'objectif est d'obtenir l'indépendance du Québec du Canada. Les souverainistes suggèrent que le peuple québécois fasse place de son droit à l'autodétermination, un principe qui inclut la possibilité de choisir entre l'intégration à un État tiers, l'association politique avec un autre État ou l'indépendance afin que les Québécois, collectivement et par des moyens démocratiques, se donnent un État souverain avec sa propre constitution indépendante. Oui, et cela devient possible. Vive notre nation libre du Québec. C'est la voix de l'indépendance du Québec, une terreur libre en Amérique du Nord.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, the sun is still active. There was a little bit of flaring this week, but nothing major. It was most of the time just a bunch of sunspots, basically. There's one sunspot that is growing, AR3567, that has the possibility of maybe creating flares within the next few days. So that will be one to check out. Sunspot number 113. Solar flux 137. It's been a long time since it's actually been that low. And one little interesting story that if you want to go to spaceweather.com and check it out, it seems like the Starlink satellites, which will be thousands and thousands of satellites for internet, a study might be showing that the more satellites we put in orbit, the weaker the Earth's magnetic field gets. So this could have an impact on radio, because the weaker geomagnetic field means that the sun's effects are going to be multiplied. We're going to have more fades and solar flares and more effects of these flares. So this is going to be interesting. You can go and check out the article. It's very, very interesting. Spaceweather.com. Great, great place also to continue checking out what's happening with our sun every day of the week. To enjoy radio, to see all of the effects of solar activity, you got to turn on a radio and listen.
Hi, I'm Mickey Delmage of Sherwood Park, Alberta. Hear the latest information from the world of radio, locally and internationally, each week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
The worldwide radio community is concerned over a number of automobile manufacturers' plans to no longer install AM radios in their new electric vehicles because of static, something that could be remedied. This increases the risk of both AM and FM devices being removed shortly thereafter from all types of new cars based on the controversial premise that terrestrial radio is on the verge of obsolescence. Such action can provide a hardship to millions of people around the world without access to Wi-Fi, as well as those who depend on AM radios as a lifeline to their communities, religious services, and basic news, traffic, sports, and weather. Learn as much as you can about this issue and make informed decisions. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Our next two stories are similar, at least the subject matter is similar. You know, if you've been listening to us regularly, we've been following the story of AM radio in electric cars, or the lack of same. There has been a lot of lobbying going on in the United States to continue or to replace the radios in the car and reinstate the AM service on radios that don't already have it. So we have two different stories on this this week. The first one from Randy Stein at Radio World. Congressman pushes for warning labels on new cars without AM radio. New Jersey Democrat Congressman Josh Gottheimer is applying more pressure on auto manufacturers to keep AM radio in their electric vehicles and new product lines. At a press conference this week in front of a Tesla dealership in his home state, he proposed new action to keep the senior band as a mainstay in future vehicles. In his latest efforts, Gottheimer is calling on the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration to require car makers who exclude AM radio to paste a safety warning in the window of any new cars sold, stating, quote, warning, no AM radio, vehicle unsafe in certain emergencies. Gottheimer is also asking them to add AM radio to the federal motor vehicle safety standards, which would require all automakers, including EV manufacturers, to include AM radio as a stock feature in their vehicles. That action item is something Gottheimer has been advocating since March of 2023, as reported by Radio World. The New Jersey Democrat reiterates that Tesla and other car manufacturers who cut AM radio from the new production vehicles put public safety and national emergency management at risk. Support from 200 members of Congress, Gottheimer said. If eventually passed, the bill would require the Department of Transportation to issue a rule requiring that AM broadcast stations be accessible in all passenger motor vehicles sold in the United States. Car makers have claimed the expense of shielding AM radio from electromagnetic interference in electric vehicles is prohibitive. However, Gottheimer rebutted that theory and took aim at the founder of Tesla. Buying a car without AM radio is like buying a car without an emergency parking brake. You may not use it every day, but you'll be glad you have it if your brakes ever go out, he said in a press conference. I would think that if Elon Musk has enough money to buy Twitter and send rockets to space, he can afford to include AM radios in his Teslas.
In a live show that I did where we talked about AM radio in electric vehicles, I asked some of the viewers if they had AM radios in their EVs. And surprise, surprise, a lot of guys had electric vehicles, including Teslas, and all of them said there was no noise to be found on the AM band on their radios. So we started talking about, is it just an excuse to not have to put AM radios, and that's it. That was very interesting. And in a related story, as promised, Ford reactivates AM radio in 2023 vehicles. Electric vehicles, and this is via Inside Radio. It was a message heard around the radio industry. Last May, Ford announced it would continue to offer AM radio to drivers of two of its 2023 electric vehicles, despite saying earlier that they were ditching AM. For any owners of Ford EVs without AM broadcast capability, we'll offer a software update, CEO Jim Farley said. The carmaker tells Inside Radio they have already started offering the update and will continue in stages across the nation. The software update has started to be deployed for those vehicles to configure AM radio back on and available for customer usage. The deployment is ongoing, and customers may receive the update at different times, all said. Ford is not saying how many cars will get the update, but all said that the only electric vehicle models that did not have the AM capabilities were the 2023 Mustang Mach-E and F-150 Lightning electric pickups. It said data collected from vehicles showed that fewer than 5% of customers turned to the AM dial, while electrical interference and reducing costs in manufacturing complexity also played a role in the decision-making. Those two models had previously included AM radio as a factory-installed feature in 2021 and 2022. Farley said last year that Ford decided to include AM on all 2024 Ford and Lincoln motor vehicles after speaking with policy leaders about the importance of AM broadcast radio as part of the emergency alert system. While a significant move to broadcasters as they work to convince other car makers to do the same, Ford is so far not committing to AM beyond the current model year. As a matter of policy, we don't comment on future product plans and will remain focused on listening to and responding to our customers' feedback to balance the transition to new technologies. Farley pointed out in his announcement last May that Ford customers can currently listen to AM radio content in a variety of ways, including via streaming. We will continue to innovate to deliver even better in-vehicle entertainment and emergency notification options in the future, he said. Ford's decision may have some rivals second-guessing their decision to drop AM radio, while other car makers have said they have no plans to exclude the legacy band from the radio available in their dashboard. That includes Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, Subaru, Land Rover, Jaguar, and Mitsubishi Motors. Honda said that for its two officially announced EVs, both AM and FM will be featured since the models were co-developed with General Motors, utilizing GM's pre-existing Ultium platform. Others have resisted. Mazda said it has no plans to reintroduce AM to its first electric vehicle, the MX-30. Tesla and Volkswagen have said the same. Toyota says that while its existing electric vehicles feature AM, the electromagnetic interference caused by the batteries used in EVs has them holding out on committing future model years. This sounds, first of all, the radios already had AM. A software update is actually adding probably just the AM info in the dashboard so that you can choose it. It really sounds more like, you know why we don't want AM? Because if it's not there, then maybe we could cut costs by removing some of the shielding that we already are putting in there. So that sounds more like that type of decision right now. It's like, no AM radio? Well, we don't need to shield it as much. We can save $1,000 here on the model.
Yeah, and if you what you were saying, where some people that have cars are not noticing the interference from the engines on the AM band, then, you know, maybe it's not the problem that some people thought it was. Maybe it's just the quality, like you said, of the shielding that they're putting into the vehicles. As you say, if it costs more to do it and we can get away without doing it, let's not make the AM radio accessible to them and see if they really miss it or not. If they don't miss it, then, well, you know, we can just go ahead and not worrying about shielding the vehicle for the AM signals.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, actually.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right. We'll get to our ham radio contests in a moment. We have one event coming up, though, that we'd like to tell you about. It's taking place on the 14th and the 15th of February, so coming up in a week, a little more than a week. Mark your calendars for the Papa India 4 Victor Bravo Delta special 150th anniversary station via the Royal Netherlands Army Signal Regiment Radio Club. On the 14th and 15th of February, the Royal Netherlands Army Signal Regiment will celebrate its 150th anniversary. They will be on the air for 36 hours with all kinds of historical and in-service radios on all bands in SSB and CW with cadets, servicemen, amateurs, veterans, and more. Share our special station among the radio amateur world. And this comes from Ton and Klaas Jan of Papa India 4 Victor Bravo Delta. So we'll put a link up for that. You can start watching for that station coming up on the 14th and 15th of February.
That'll be interesting, especially what they're saying, that they're going to use all kinds of historical and in-service radios.
Yeah.
There's going to be some old gear in there used for that. So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
Lots of events coming up next weekend. The CQ Worldwide RTTY WPX contest. That is running February 10th, 0000 to February 11th, 2359 Zulu. That's organized by CQ Magazine. 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz bands. And it is a radio teletype event.
There's the South African Radio League Field Day Contest, 10 hours Zulu February 10th to 10 hours Zulu February 11th. The bands will be 160 through 10 meters, CW, SSB, and digital. And this is going to be interesting, as there's not that many South African hams that we hear in the bands.
Should be good. The Asia Pacific Spring Sprint, CW, just 2 hours long, 1100 to 1300 Zulu, February the 10th. That's organized by the Japan Amateur Radio League, and it's 20 and 40 meter bands only and CW only.
There's the Straight Key Contest Club Weekend Sprintathon from 1200 Zulu, February 10th to 2359 Zulu, February 11th. The bands are 160 through 6 meters, and it's CW only.
We have the Dutch PACC contest, 1200 Zulu February 10th to 1200 Zulu February 11th. That's organized by the Dutch Amateur Contest Group, 160 through 10 meters. That one is both a CW and a single sideband.
There's the Caymans Club of Japan Top Band Contest, 1200 Zulu February 10th to 1200 Zulu February 11th. 160 meters only, and it's CW only. And with that, we are out of time.
So a lot of interesting things going on the radio for you this week in the way of ham radio events. We thank you for tuning into us. You can catch our show at your convenience on our YouTube channel. Look for International Radio Report on YouTube. And join us next week for our special show dedicated to World Radio Day coming up on February the 13th. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again on Sunday next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Presenting a World Radio Day Minute, proclaimed in 2011 by UNESCO and endorsed by the United Nations General Assembly in 2012 as a UN International Day, February 13 is World Radio Day.
Radio is often called the first social media, especially two-way talk radio. Radio was also the first electronic media platform that was referred to as broadcasting. It basically means sending a signal from one, or a media base such as a station, to the many, such as the broad-based public. The modern-day term, narrowcasting, means sending a signal from one, or a point of origin, to the few, or a more targeted or localized audience, such as a specific age group or within a campus. So, where did the term broadcasting actually originate? It was an agricultural term meaning the sowing of seeds in a field by casting them broadly about. Then it was used to describe the widespread distribution of information via the printing press. This has been a World Radio Day Minute from UNESCO.
Thank you. CBBC in Beijing. Kampala.
Reykjavik.
Delhi.
Wherever you are, you're with the BBC.
Discredited and abandoned until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nature, but until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes, that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, that until that day the dream of lasting peace and world citizenship and the rule of international morality will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained.